Just to remind everyone, we are back being recorded again. So what we're going to do is go through the feedback from each group one by one, and then if it's time, we'll take some questions and observations. So, Mary, would you like to kick off with the top candidates from group one?
Okay. I have to do first a special case, and then I'll talk about the top candidates. The special case is, even though we were group one, not group four, we spent about half our time talking about the segment disclosure standard and pros and cons and different, you know, issues with that. And what came out of that is, you know, I was too narrowly mission-focused in terms of we're trying to find a pilot or two for a general project on disclosure. But there's some very important feedback that I think stands alone from that. And that is, from a user perspective, certainly number one priority is to get improvements in segment disclosures. And this might be, to me, a separate project that is a mix of the possibility of a change, even within the management approach, without going as fundamental as that. It may involve some changes to the standard, but it may also involve some education, some illustrations of best practice, better communication about what users want to give preparers a better understanding, to especially highlight the desire for users of financial statements to be able to calculate ratios by segment, by type of operation, that requires more information. There are some challenges to that as well. One issue that was raised about shared assets and the degree of allocation that may be involved and how the information may differ by sector. But, you know, I carved it out as a separate feedback item because my assessment of the feedback was a very strong message that this is an area that needs improvement in disclosure, but it isn't necessarily one that is a good vehicle for testing general principles, that it might relate to the specifics of the standard, to the importance of this disclosure for users. The second kind of general point that follows on and is the context for selecting is there might be some bias in what people selected in terms of saying we always focus on the thing that is most important to us. And if there's been, for example, a big business combination transaction, that note and its disclosures are very important because it's an important and potentially disruptive, you know, event in the year. And that might have influenced that are, once I kind of took IFRS 8 on the basis of the feedback off the table, the top three, and I snuck in a fourth candidate on the basis of votes, are IFRS 3, IFRS 13, so IFRS 3 BizCom, IFRS 13 Fair Value Measurement, IS 19 Pensions, and my fourth snuck in is IFRS 2, which is one of the two that we discussed in detail and got some very helpful comments from kind of a pro and con perspective about lots of work. I think the phrase I heard is takes up lots of real estate. Not sure how much people use it. The clear message that what users want above all is information about dilution from items that are not vested yet and therefore not reflecting in outstanding, and helping people to understand that's what it's about, and looking again at disclosure requirements with that in mind, that it did seem to tick the box of not useful, can be overly prescriptive, and there are better ways of meeting user needs. On IFRS 3, I think a lot of the comments that we had about what the opportunities are specific to the standard and to the topic rather than necessarily to how the disclosure requirements are drafted, and some of it I think is very obvious feedback into the work we're doing on goodwill impairment and improved disclosures. But the observation was made that the accountability for significant transactions that users were looking for is something that possibly is better provided on an ongoing basis in the, guess what, segment disclosure. So, you know, so that was, again, a reinforcement of the importance. So I come back to the top three of I4S3, focusing better on what information people are looking for, that there probably are some opportunities for improvement in disclosure requirements, including support across both types of participants in the qualitative information about a transaction and the drivers for it. We did not highlight a lot of things that seem to tick the boxes of overly prescriptive, lengthy, et cetera, in general. And as I said, we didn't have many specific comments about why people were selecting IFRS 13. IS-19, it was one that seemed to be, it matters a lot if you have very big schemes. It matters, you know, it matters less if you don't. And that's where maybe people are looking for some kind of rethink about what's disclosed there. Okay. Any group members want to stand up and object to that as a very quick?
Passing on then, because we are short of time. But thank you for that. I was with group two, and we also spent a lot of time talking about segment reporting, although it was at the top of our list, so we felt justified doing that. And here I think the conclusion we came up with, which is very similar to what Mary just reported, is acknowledging that there are concerns here and that the survey very clearly showed those. But we found it, and I think these were Glenn's words, which I found very helpful, difficult to distinguish between the principles of standard and the disclosures requirements. And in that respect, we weren't sure it was an ideal candidate for this particular project. I'm not saying there aren't issues here, but it doesn't necessarily neatly fit into this project. I mentioned IFRS 13 because we did discuss that at some considerable length. I think the conclusion of the group there, people did recognise this had resulted in some lengthy disclosures, was really about materiality and whether that was really being used to the full extent it could, and not just the size of the number, but the nature of the number as well. So neither of those made our top three. Our top three were business combinations, IFRS 3, and here again, thinking about particularly around the disclosures of were companies actually doing deals that were generating long-term value, were the things there that could help investors better understand that dynamic and partly hold management to account in that respect. And at the same time, feeling some of the requirements today, particularly the way they had been worded around sensitivity analysis and what's required, didn't actually allow materiality to come into play. I think it asked, well, I was told about sensitivity in the CGU for the two largest units where there were goodwill. It doesn't say if both of these are immaterial, you can ignore it. So something about wording there. And the other two standards that we came up with for very similar reasons were IS-19 and on income taxes and 12. 19 on pensions and 12 on income taxes. And really, that was summed up in a very nice phrase. There's lots of disclosure in both standards, but I think even on the user side, not really sure what to do with all of it, really. So perhaps both are candidates for some more focus there. The final one, which I promised I'd mention, that we threw into the mix also, where there was support, principally because it's sometimes still the largest note, was around share-based payments was the last one. But I say our top three would be business combinations, pensions, and tax. And then I'll ask Gary to pick up with group three.
Thank you. And we discussed at length IAS-7, statement of cash flows, and IAS-19 on pensions. And then I caught an audible and went to IFRS, two on share-based compensation to be the third one we discussed. I would tell you, for IAS-7, statement of cash flows, almost a but not complete. The consensus is don't bother putting this on the short list. However, it didn't necessarily didn't say they thought the statement was great as it is. They think there's all sorts of defects in the statement, but for reasons unrelated to the disclosure process and what we're trying to accomplish in the disclosure initiative about how to write standards, sort of the defects in IAS 9, in IAS 7 and cash flows, it doesn't do very well with how do you determine free cash flow, which is where much of the business focus is and executive focus is. It certainly doesn't address segment reporting and cash flows by segments. Doesn't deal very well when you've got securitizations and business acquisitions are worked into it and so on. So I would say a lot of interest in perhaps one day reopening IAS 7 more structurally, but vis-a-vis the disclosure initiative and how to write disclosures, doesn't make the list. We spend an awful lot of time on IAS 19. I would say, again, for different reasons within the room, and even different reasons between and amongst repairers, between and amongst CMAQ members, absolutely should be on the list. So in that sense, there was almost unanimity of opinion on it, that we heard the comments of, 15 and 20 page long footnotes, and someone made the comment, if you want to hide a tree, put it in the forest, it's just way too much overload and disclosure overload, and where do you start looking? It's highly technical. The other view, what comment expressed was the world is shifting from DB to DC plans, and these are anachronism is something of vestige to history, is my phrases, but that would be the ambiance of it, is that the activity these days is on defined contribution plans. These things are running their course. The disclosure information needs really are what does the immediate future terms funding requirements look like, and get a comfort zone about can the company meet its obligations or not. I don't necessarily need all this other information to help me do that. So again, for different reasons, believe it should make the list. One person in the room who did not have a pension plan at issue, so I can either fresh set of eyes and reading the disclosures, just wow, just look at the volume, it just sort of hits you. So anyways, so that would be probably our number one recommendation to be on the list. We did discuss share-based compensation, which was IFRS 2, do that in 3 backwards. Sense was that also should be on the list for much of the same reasons as pensions, but there was a bit of a sense is, well, like if you only have one, are you effectively doing both? Because you have all this off-balance sheet information, stuff that's generally gathered at the top as opposed to transaction systems and stuff. So you might effectively be doing both if you just do one, but maybe you don't need to do both, if you're only trying to put 3 items on the list. Senses, what we really want to know is sort of what is future dilution likely to look like in the relative position of, say, option strike price versus, the current trading value of the shares in it. And again, the sense, complete disclosure overload in general, most people can't do much with it. And here's a case, unlike some other disclosures, is whether it's in proxies or else, there's a lot of other information out there. And maybe we can't ignore that for purposes of full and fair set of accounts in accordance to standards, but don't ignore that there is a lot of information, highly visible, highly regulated information out there. That, Nick, is generally as far as we got. I did get a sense is if we got to a longer discussion, business combinations would probably make it, again, because we talked about it in terms of how does it affect cash flows, how does it affect segments, was in passing, and the acquisition-minded companies, even the room, sort of tend to agree there's probably some disclosures you can do on that, but I'm really speaking more for myself than I am as a group on that.
Okay. Great.
Thank you. In our group, we discussed IS-12 first, because IS-12, only our group discussed IS-12. So we spent nearly 30 minutes to discuss IS-12. And everybody agreed that IS-12 has a lot of problems. And the user said IS-12 is just a black box. Disclosure of tax is totally black box. The user want to know when and how and how much the deferred tax asset can be collected. And in order to predict the future cash flow, the information about tax is, in a sense, critical. But for users, it is quite difficult to know from the current disclosures. And the user's concern is some company has a quite low tax rate. The question is, how sustainable is it? And the other user also said they are quite interested in the where is that deferred tax asset? What country do you have this kind of deferred tax asset? So geographical information is really necessary. But in current disclosure, we cannot get it. And on the other hand, preparer side. Preparer side said disclosure of tax is black box. So remember, and preparer said it's a black box, but in a different meaning. So, for the preparer side, it is quite hard to make a reconciliation. One of the members said he took most of his time only to do the tax reconciliation. So he spent quite a lot of time, but in the end couldn't get enough useful information. So maybe we don't think it is a candidate for the disclosure initiative. Maybe the the reason why it's a black box came from somehow recognition and the measurement, or some complication of each jurisdictional tax rules. And it could be much more simpler. Somebody said we should start up with a clean sheet. So anyway, so that's why we rejected it as a candidate. And the second topic we discussed was IFRS 3. Actually, user had a strong concern with the current IFRS 3 disclosure. The main concern is they cannot compare the acquired company in the past to the after the acquisition. So comparison between the performance of acquired company and the performance of acquiring companies. So he said pro forma is really necessary. But actually, it's not totally impossible, but some company has a variety of acquisition. So therefore, in order to make it concise a footnote to the financial statement is somehow challenging. So therefore, IFRS 3 would be the good candidate for the board to explore improvement for disclosure. And then we discussed the other issues. And the user picked up IFRS 8 and IS 7. The reason why IS-7 was picked up is because for the users, the information about cash flow, cash is critical, especially cash which is ready to redeem is really important. But the current cash disclosure of IS-7, it is quite vague. And that there is no distinction between the cash of consolidated basis and the cash of parent basis. And some company has a cash management pool, but those kind of information cannot obtain from the current IS-7. So therefore, IS-7 must be improved. And the other one is IFRS 8. And the IFRS 8 is really important with the idea of through the eyes of management. Through the eyes of management in itself is fine, but there are we need some rigor to the through the eyes of management. So in order to make the good comparison, and in order to introduce some kind of discipline, disclosure of IFRS 8 should be improved. And those are mainly from the user's view, and the preparer have a slightly different view. One preparer said IFRS 13 is the most significant one because it's an event-driven standard. So if we are in the situation of financial crisis, those information are necessary. But do we have to do it every year? That is the real concern. And also, IS-19 was picked up from the preparer side. But in our group, we have four users and only three preparers. So in the end, in our group, our recommendation is IFRS 3 and IS 7 and IFRS 8. Thank you.
Thank you, Tank. So are there any questions or observations that that you'd like to make on feedback?
Have you made up your mind on what are the top three based on this discussion?
I think we need to collate that information together, and I think that the board will need to consider, and that already I know staff are sort of thinking about criteria in terms of not. I mean, already I think we talked about earlier. We've ruled out things which are very new standards. So we don't think that's helpful to start reviewing disclosure requirements there. Areas where there's a post-implementation review due have also been ruled out. But we need to look at a number of criteria, but this is exceptionally valuable input to have into that discussion.
As a follow-on, actually, can I suggest that some research is done to find out why those big stark differences between the GPF responses and the CMAQ responses exist, because they may be, in some instances, that actually it's about measurement. And, you know, one or other of us are trying to get a different measurement through disclosure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's valid because, as we said, this isn't a project to discuss measurement. Go down that route in error. Awesome.
I think on that point, and some of the summaries earlier talked about IS-19 as given the volume of disclosure that's required. I didn't pick that personally myself as a user, and one of the reasons for that is I think the application of materiality isn't well applied potentially. And somebody said, you know, we talked about disclosures should be made if material, we can put that word under the standard. And I worry a little bit about that because I think, you know, the IS-1, I can't remember, the standard is clear that if something's not material, then you don't disclose requirements, whatever the standards. And so if you start putting stuff or even more stuff in, it just worries me that then, well, is everything else material by definition or not? So I didn't pick IS-19, not because there's a volume of disclosure that doesn't need to be there, but I think that's a problem that's more about application than the principle.
Doug?
I just think as you're selecting it, I think we should start off on the less controversial ones. And I think if you go down the path of combinations and segmented, you're going to get that significant differential between future information and tracking of acquisitions, which are all future performance related, versus pure disclosures on acquisitions or current segments. So I'd really recommend that we look at ones that are more balanced. And there was a lot of agreement in our room on some of the less controversial ones that we would agree with. We'd prefer not to prepare it and give you more of what you do need. And there was a win-win there. And if that's going to be the pilot, I think for me, that would be where standard setting could take a new tone and not necessarily go with theoretical disclosures, but ones that are really meaningful to the users. And that would be where I would focus. I just think if you go down combinations or acquisitions, it's going to be significantly larger than a disclosure issue.
Any other comments or questions? Catherine, do you have anything you want to...
No, I just came in case there was any detail needed on next steps, but I think that was covered. I could just reiterate Nick's thanks, because from a staff perspective, I've just caught up with my colleagues and we've received the exact information that we wanted to get out of this meeting. It's been incredibly helpful, so thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. And so now we are breaking for lunch.